Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 14 is where we're going to be in the scripture. And I want you to find that place in the scripture. How about John on that trombone? Wasn't that awesome? Good job. Thank you, band, for all your encouragement and help and using your talents for the Lord, leading us in worship. I want you to find your place in Romans 14, and I want to ask you to get your bulletin real quickly. We printed you some blanks there, and I want to give them to you quickly so we can get right into our message today. We're studying the gospel of grace. And there is a big picture that I want you to get. It's all about grace. It's all about the gospel of grace. And so Roman number one is the theme. The gospel is God's power to save. And then Roman numeral two is grace needed. And I hope and pray that as we finish this, you'd have kind of this big picture of Romans. I know you're not going to get it all nailed down in your mind, because the book of Romans is an amazing book of scripture, but I do want you to get this basic outline. Grace needed. Number three, grace given in those passages. Grace understood. Great passages in Romans 6 through 8:39. And then grace to Israel. What is Israel's place in the world and in history? Grace to Israel. And then right now we're in this section, Roman numeral 6, grace lived out. And those are the messages that are under it, and I want you to have that. Now, you've got your place in Romans 14. Today, I want to speak on this subject, grace lived out in unity. And I want to read in John 17. You can stay in Romans 14, or you can turn over if you want to. Romans 14 is where we're headed, but I just want to preface what I'm going to say today and what God's Word is going to challenge us with John 17, verse 20, where Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Talking about us, the church. Verse 21, that they all may be one. And then it says this, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. This idea of unity, grace lived out in unity, is huge in the scripture. And ladies and gentlemen, it's huge in a church. Now, we need unity. Every church needs unity. Matter of fact, there are three different sections that we're going to dig into. Right here at the end of the book of Romans, it talks about unity. And it talks about not judging one another. That's what we're going to talk about today, not judging one another. And then, next week, living by love. How to have unity when you live at the highest level, the level of love. And then the third message on unity is having the Lord Jesus Christ as our example. And so this idea of unity, Jesus said before he left this earth, I pray that they might be one. So the issue of unity is very important. Now, I'm not talking about uniformity. The story is told that if you take two cats and tie their tails together, and then put them over a clothesline or over a string, you're going to see an example of being united, but that's not unity. We're not talking about just uniformity. We're talking about spiritual unity that can happen in a church family. Now, let me read this passage of Scripture, verses 1 through 12, Romans chapter 14. You follow along in your copy of God's Word. And I'll read along in mine. It says, receive one who is weak in faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Verse 9, for to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Verse 10 says, but why do you judge your brother? Grace lived out. Grace lived out in unity. Don't judge one another. Now, we're talking about disputable things. The scripture says doubtful things. That word means judging two ways. We're not talking about things that are very crystal clear in scripture. We're not talking about things like, was Jesus born of a virgin? Did Christ die on the cross? We're not talking about things that are crystal clear. We're not talking about things that the Bible makes clear are immoral. We're not talking about murder. We're not talking about things that are crystal clear, a hateful attitude. These are crystal clear. But folks, you all know we're all different. Do I have an amen? We all have different, you ready for this? Preferences. I just love this subject. You know why? Because it really is where Christian maturity comes into place. Think about it. We come from all different backgrounds. We come from different parts of the country. We have some different ethnicity. We come from different economic backgrounds. We come from different educational backgrounds. Some of us were raised in really strict Christian homes. Some of us did not know Jesus until later in life. Some of us may not even know Jesus right now. They're in this building, perhaps, and wrestling with whether they should know Christ. We're talking about disputable things, not clear-cut teachings, and he's saying that unity should prevail. How in the world do you do that? Well, the main big idea is we don't judge one another. That'd be a good place for an amen. We don't judge one another. Now, what are we talking about, okay? Let's think about it. We're talking about different preferences. How about music tastes? Man, everywhere I've ever been, look, everywhere I've ever been in churches, there's always preferences about music. Different people have different preferences about music. Some come from a background of this type of music, and they want this other type of music. I think about preferences about your eschatology, what you think about the end times. How about entertainment choices? Some people say, oh, I would never go do that for entertainment. Others would do that. What are you going to do with that? Well, in the scripture here, we're given some insight. You think about some have debated through the years, oh, I'd never go to the movie theater. How about this idea? How about material possessions? What is right? How much material stuff should you have? Some guy looks down his nose, he says, I can't believe that That guy drives that car. He could give that to missions, although he hadn't given a dime to missions probably. You know, we want to be judgmental. There's something in us that wants uniformity in the way we live out our Christian life. I think it's wonderful when there is variety in these areas of dispute and when we love and we are committed to unity in the church. How about this? How do you educate your children? Well, that's been a hot button topic in life, in the Christian world. Do you go to Christian school? Do you go to public school? Hey, I'm a public school graduate. Man, I went to Greenfield Elementary, Southside Middle School, and Inglewood High School. And then I went to a secular college. Oh, no, the University of Florida. I had friends that went to a Christian college. How do you educate your children? All of these matters of debatable things, how do you deal with it? Now, it's very important. Look at the passage here. Receive one who is weak. This is verse 1. In the faith, but not disputes over doubtful things. In other words, we are to receive one another. Now, what was the circumstance in Rome? I tell you what was happening is there were Jews that were coming to Christ, and they were taught they shouldn't eat meat in their Jewish background. They had some background that said, don't eat meat. So when they came to know Christ, they just were uncomfortable eating meat. And yet, we know, what did the Lord say to Peter? Arise, kill, and eat. The Lord allowed the believers to eat meat. Not only that, but Paul even said that it was okay to eat meat offered to idols. Are you kidding me? That meat was dedicated to an idol at one time. And it didn't get used up, so they put it on the market. They actually put it on the market at a discounted price. And some of the Christians were going and buying that meat that was at a discounted price. And others were saying, oh, I can't believe that you would eat that meat that was offered to idols. And so what happened was, it says, for one believes that he may eat meat. Excuse me, verse 2. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Now, Paul is calling the one who is limited and feels convicted to not eat that meat, he's calling them the weaker person. In other words, their faith is not strong enough to understand the Lord has made that clean. All right? And what is happening in verse 3, let not him who eats, the guy that says, hey, I'm free in Christ, grace allows me to do this, don't let him despise, and that word despise means to discount as nothing, to push over. Let him not who eats despise him who does not eat. Who's the guy that does not eat? The guy who in his background was not allowed to eat meat under the law. And all of a sudden now he comes to Christ and he just cannot get over the fact that the Lord allows him to eat that meat. But he's not satisfied. This is interesting. He's not satisfied that he's uncomfortable with it. Listen to me. He is demanding that no one eats that meat. He's taking his own personal preference, his own conviction before God, and imposing it in a legalistic way upon those who did not come from that background. They have no conviction about that. It's a disputable thing. No, the Bible doesn't say you have to eat the meat. And yet the person who does not eat is judging the one who does eat. And then in verse 4, who are you to judge another servant? So we're talking about disputable things. Here are three principles I think will help us in the church understand how to live out grace and unity. Don't judge one another, okay? Now, next week, listen, The big challenge in this message today is for the weaker Christian who has a preferential conviction and wants to impose it on others. That's the big challenge today. Do not judge the one who in grace is free to eat that meat. But now next week, there's going to be a challenge to that person who's free, and that is going to be to live a life of love and be careful what you do because it can injure the one who is weaker. But today we're talking about don't judge one another, okay? So here's the first principle here. Do not judge because the strong and the weak are in the church. Can we just settle in, get comfortable here for a second, church family? You know, on disputable matters, we don't all agree. There's something in us that wants everyone in the church to dress alike, act alike, talk alike, go the same entertainment alike, have the same convictions about every little thing. And there's some that are not happy. Listen, there's some that are not happy unless we're all identical. But the truth is, this scripture makes it clear, both the strong and the weak are in the church. It says there in verse 1, receive one who is weak in the faith. That word receive is the same word that describes God's acceptance of others in grace. We are to receive. We are not to dispute with them. The worst thing we can do is have big arguments about things that are debatable. And make that the primary issue of our church is to do that. It says there, one has a conviction and one doesn't in verse 2. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. So the truth is, the scripture's making it clear that in the church, they're both there. Folks, we got to face it. This is something that you may have a conviction about something, but unless you can show chapter and verse and it's crystal clear, that is your preference, and you're not to judge someone who doesn't do it just like you. So, are y'all with me? You're looking at me kind of funny, like kind of. Don't look at me cockeyed now, okay? I love you now. I'm just saying this is helpful that we get into this scripture because God's word. You know, some people think the word of God doesn't relate to the world today. Are you kidding me? Are you telling me this is not where all of us live as believers constantly? And yet, this book, this ancient document, it's a living book. The Word of God is alive, and it's the most relevant document you could ever read. It's the most relevant book you could ever read and you could ever study to understand the mind of God. In verse 3, it says, let not him who eats despise, which means to discount, him who does not eat. So in other words, the one who has the freedom to do it the way he feels convicted to do it, don't despise the person who doesn't eat the meat. And then it says in verse 3, and let him who does not eat, the person who only eats the vegetables, not judge him who eats, for God has received them. Here's the bottom line. God has received them. Can I tell you this, folks? You may be upset that everybody is not conforming the way you live, but can I make a statement to you? That's not a problem to God. God has received both in the church. So you might as well face the fact, ladies and gentlemen, do not judge because the strong and the weak are both in the church. You have the one that will not eat the meat, and you have the one that will eat the meat, for God has received them. So here's what I would say in application of this. Don't set up man-made restrictions in the church. That'd be another place for a good amen. Don't set up man-made restrictions in the church. In other words, you must look like us, you must dress like us, you must talk like us. The bottom line is that Jesus loves everyone, and we're going to realize that the conviction comes from a person's heart and their relationship with the Lord. Gladys Hunt wrote years ago this statement about the way it ought to be in a church. You feel safe. No one will pronounce judgment on you, even though they don't agree with you. Now, we're talking about debatable things now. This is important. We're not talking about things that are clear in Scripture. But listen to this. Here's what she says. You feel safe. No one will pronounce judgment on you, even though they don't agree with you. It doesn't mean you will never be corrected or shown to be wrong, because that's something that the church has a responsibility to do as well. When we get out of line on a biblical matter that is clear, then we are to correct, and there is to be church discipline. That's not talked about a lot in the church today. But there should be church discipline. So it says, she says, it doesn't mean you will never be corrected or shown to be wrong. It simply means it is safe to be you, and no one will destroy you out of prejudice. So, face the fact, folks. Look, there are those that don't eat the meat that will be here, and there are those that do eat the meat that will be here. They're both in the church. So that's the first thing. Number two, don't judge one another. Worry about the lordship of Christ in your own life. Don't judge others. Worry about the lordship of Christ in your own life. Verses 4 through 8. Look at verse 4. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. You know what that's saying? That's saying, look, as believers, you have to wrestle with Jesus Christ yourself. You know what I learned in working with young people? You know what young people wanted? They wanted to always study relationships, which I understand why. Because I was a youth at one time, and I remember, you know, I want to know what God says about relationship. God says about when I liked that girl, when I fell in love with Kelly, I want to know what does God think about this? What are the boundaries? And here's what I wanted so bad. I wanted somebody just to tell me exactly what I'm supposed to do. You know what? The Lord showed me I have to answer to the Lord myself for the convictions God gives me. And here's the truth. Don't judge one another. Look at me, folks. You worry about the lordship of Christ in your own life. It's not your place to put your conviction on someone else in a disputable area. We ultimately answer to God in verse 4, it says, to his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. This is an interesting verse. I love this verse. Verse 5, one person esteems one day above another. Now, there were two things they were battling in the Roman church. One was this thing of eating meat offered to idols and just eating meat in general. The other thing was, do we observe special days, feast days? That Jew that came to know Christ, we know from history that the emphasis went from the law and the Sabbath over to the Lord's Day, Sunday. That's Resurrection Day. Folks, let me tell you, the fact we're worshiping on Sunday morning is an evidence. It's not the primary evidence, but it is an evidence of Jesus' resurrection. Do you know everything changed in the religious world when Christ rose on Sunday morning? Everything shifted to Sunday morning. So, but there are those that came to know Christ out of the Jewish faith, and there were special days. There were days celebration. And it says there in verse 5, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Our main point is worry about the lordship of Christ, and the reason is in verse 5, be fully convinced. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. In other words, you must be fully persuaded about your conviction about some disputable thing. And then you rest upon your own conviction. The lordship of Jesus Christ in your own life speaks to you in this way, and you live that way. Okay? Verse 6. Do you realize that both sides, and of course there's not just necessarily two sides, there are a lot of sides. Okay? But in verse 6 it says, he who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat. and he gives God thanks. In other words, both of the guy eating the meat says a blessing. The guy that's free in Christ and says, Jesus has cleansed this meat, I can eat it, he says a blessing. The guy who thinks, oh, I can't believe you would eat that meat offered to idols, I'm going to eat vegetables, guess what he does? He says a blessing. And so the point is, you individually, indisputable matters, have to be convinced and convicted and fully convinced and persuaded in your own mind. You worry about the Lord Jesus Christ in your own life. And then in verse 7 it says this, for none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. Verse 8, for if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. And it says, therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. The summation of 7 and 8 means this, whatever we do, we are before God. Can I say this to you folks? Listen, you are not judged by me. Aren't you thankful? I'm really thankful I'm not judged by you. No, I'm kidding. But you know what? We all live before God. You have to be fully convinced with tenderness in your heart as you're on your face before your God that Jesus is your Lord in this area of your life. And you say, God, you have led me in this way. I feel led in this way. And you are not necessarily judging someone else or pushing aside someone else who has a conviction different than you in that disputable area. We have people who choose to send their children to Christian schools. We have people that send them to public schools. We have some who homeschool. I'm praising God that we have it all. And I'm praising God that whatever your conviction is about that, it is your conviction, and that you are not lording that over someone else and putting anyone else down because they do not do it the way you do it. Everyone doesn't like the same type of music. Praise God, variety is wonderful. If we had the same old constantly without any variety, then it would be boring. Variety is a blessing. Everyone, listen, is not of the same persuasion, listen, politically. We are not a church of, the church is not a church of the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or the Independent Party. The church should preach biblical principles. You don't answer to me for who you vote for, but let me tell you who you do answer to. You answer to the Lord Jesus. You answer to God. So you get persuaded. When there are disputable things, when there are things that are of dispute, you get persuaded in your own heart. Listen, I am passionate about, you know, I think about I've always loved politics. I've always loved it. I remember when I turned, the first presidential election I was in is in 1980. And I just remember how passionate I was. But can I tell you something I've learned along the way? There are some of those old birds I voted for that caved in on everything I was preaching about that they were going to stand for. They caved in on it, and I spent all that energy trying to make everybody else be like me, and they caved in on it. Do you know that Al Gore was against abortion at one time? He's as much for abortion as any politician ever was. At one time, he was not for it. The truth is, we answer to God for who we vote for. As a Christian citizen, you need to be informed and you need to vote biblical convictions no matter what party. Amen? But don't be a one-issue Christian. And don't mandate that everybody be like you in the way you live in disputable things. The illustration is this: worry about yourself, not others. Now, I want you to look in your Bibles over in the book of John. Y'all okay? John 21. John 21:15. By the way, I tell you, we better get the gospel to this nation of ours right now. You read the headline article in today's paper. I read that this morning and was shocked. And I will tell you this, those that do not believe Scripture are coming after those that want to stand on their religious convictions. So it's coming. And you stand upon the Word of God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 15, Jesus has an encounter with Peter. He says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" Verse 18, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Now look at verse 20, what happens here. Then Peter, he just had this encounter with Jesus where Jesus was said, "Follow me." Verse 20, "Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved." Who was that? John. "He saw him following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, 'Lord, who is the one who betrays you?'" Verse 21, "Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, 'But Lord, what about this man?' Jesus said to him, 'If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me.'" So here's Peter in an encounter with Jesus, and he looks at John. He says, "Hey, what about John?" And Jesus said to him, "You let me worry about John. You worry about you." I think that's a great principle. We are to worry about ourselves. In other words, let the lordship of Christ become real in us. Okay, number three, don't judge one another because God is the ultimate judge. Isn't this freeing? I'm so glad that the Lord is the judge and not you. I'm so glad you're glad that the Lord is the judge and not me. He's the judge, so we don't have to judge one another. Someone has a conviction to eat that meat. And we don't have that conviction and we want them to not eat that meat. It was offered to idols. You know what? I think Jesus is capable of dealing with his children. Do you? So don't judge one another because God is the ultimate judge. Matter of fact, he died and rose. He conquered death. He's the God of the dead and the living. Look at verse 9. It says, "For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living." But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. See, Jesus died and rose. He conquered death. He's the God of the dead and the living. The second thing is all believers are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Listen, instead of you worrying about what everybody else is doing in these disputable things, you better get right with God, because you know what? You're going to stand before your Savior as a believer, and you're going to give an account about the way you live. So all believers are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then he quotes an Old Testament scripture in Isaiah 45, it says, "As I live, says the Lord," this is verse 11 in our passage, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." So the conclusion is, let's don't judge one another, because the Lord says, "I pray that they would be one." We are united in the gospel. We are united in what the gospel can do in lives. When we come to some of these preferential things, we have our convictions about them. The places we go for entertainment. The amount of luxury that we dispense on ourselves. The way we educate our children. The way we dress, the way we live life in that way, all these things that are not crystal clear. Now, we live by principle, and of course the principles of God's Word shape everything we do, and we want to understand God's Word, and we want to live that out. But here's the bottom line: judgmentalism does not work. And let me say this, sometimes you don't know the whole story. I had a youth worker one time who we had a rule in our youth ministry, and we have that rule always, and that is at church events we used to call it no PDA. Y'all know what PDA is? It's what Kelly and I, when no one's around, we kiss each other. You know, that's PDA, public display of affection. But that's not public when we do it. But with our young people, we would say, look, in our group, we don't put our hands all over one another. I know that's your boyfriend. I know that's your girlfriend. If your mom and dad let you do that kind of stuff when they're with you, that's fine. But when you're at church, we don't have any PDA. That was our rule. Well, I had a youth worker one time who was sitting in the back of the church and saw this lady just rubbing this guy's head. I mean, just, you know, during the preaching. I mean, just, you know, just scratching his head, you know, and just massaging him, you know, doing this to his back and everything, and scratching his back and all this kind of stuff. And man, this youth worker told me they were just fuming. They're breaking the rules. They're breaking the rules. Well, when the service was over, they made a beeline over there to that lady to say, you're giving a bad example to the church. And when they got over there, there was a younger man that she was doing that to, and turns out that it was her handicapped older son whom she was calming down so that he could listen to the preaching. Sometimes, folks, when we want to judge our fellow followers of Christ, we don't know the whole story. I've seen this with music particularly. Some guy gets saved out of a secular worldview that he begins to follow Christ, and he is out of a lifestyle that is just, he sees it as rebellious. You know, we've got drums up here. Y'all know this, that there was a time when this would be like, man, I can't believe you got drums in the church. Some of y'all shaking your head. You know what I'm talking about, because y'all were preaching it. By the way, y'all that were preaching it, your tithes and offerings bought those drums. Okay? So things change, you know. But I've seen this with music. Some people, they come out of a lifestyle, and they know what their life was without Christ, and they associate that with it. And then they come into the church, and somebody's playing some rhythm that they remembered from when they were not a believer in Christ, and they go ballistic. You know why I like preaching about all this? Because most of this stuff ends up on the pastor's desk. And I just love talking about it, because I want you in on the dilemma and the tension yourselves. But truthfully, folks, listen. Many times we judge because we don't know the whole story. Here's the principle. Unity in the body of Christ is bigger than anyone's personal preferences. We realize both the strong and the weaker in the church Let's worry about the Lordship of Christ in our lives over disputable things. And once again, I qualify everything. This passage was about a disputable thing, not something crystal clear in Scripture. We're not talking about you can have your own conviction about adultery or sexual immorality or drunkenness or stealing or backbiting. No, those are crystal clear in Scripture. But when you come to some of these gray areas, and there are many, then we worry about the Lordship of Christ in our own life. And then here's the freeing thing. I think Jesus is capable of handling his children. He's the ultimate judge. Amen, church? So that frees us up to go forward in unity with the gospel of Jesus Christ into our community, and then we can live out what Jesus desired for his church, that they might be one, that the world would know that Christ is real. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.